Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read from verse 3. It's a prophecy pointing to Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And now, reading from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, reading verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Pray the Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his word. As you know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere we go, everyone, it seems, everyone is getting ready for Christmas. Shopping, buying, wrapping, until eventually they're dropping. Exhausted. Before we know it, Christmas will be here. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday, when the countdown to Christmas for us really begins. 4 Sundays to prepare for those who want to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. For those who want to get ready. For those who do want to remember that Christmas starts with Christ. It's all about him. Today is known as Christ the King Sunday, which is looked upon as the last Sunday in the church year. It is for those who follow a lectionary. It's the end of one teaching year, and then next Sunday at Advent it all starts again. It is looked upon as the last Sunday in the church year. It's good, isn't it, to stop and to take stock and to look back. And that's what Christ the King Sunday does for me. It helps us to stop and to look back over the year, to look to Jesus and to remember what he has done for us, to think about who he is and what he has promised us. We need to stop, we need to think, we need to remember him, and we need to ask ourselves, do we know him? Do we know him? Do we know who he is? Are we closer to him than we were this time last year? Is he really king? Is he king of my heart? Is he truly the King of kings and Lord of lords to me? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? The Bible, the Word of God, gives us the answer. Every book in the Bible points to Jesus in one way or another. Every book in the Bible points to Jesus and God's promise to send a Saviour, to send one who would redeem and save his people. There are prophecies about who he is, about his coming, about his birth, why he would come, what he would do when he came, and how he would die, and what his sacrifice, what his death would achieve. But we have to go a long way back. We have to go way back, long before his birth at Bethlehem, if we are going to see who Jesus really is and why he is King. John, at the very start of his gospel, puts it brilliantly, doesn't he? He explains it so clearly, and he says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He has no beginning, he has no end. He is the creator of all things. He is truly the King of creation. And his throne, his kingdom, will never ever end. Jesus is truly God, the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. John said, we have beheld his glory. We have beheld his glory, and we have received from him grace on top of grace. We have received from him what we did not deserve. Jesus is God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God in the flesh. God in our shoes. Fully God and fully man. God became one of us so that he might save all of us. John later reminds us in his gospel that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We often read John 3:16 and miss out verse 17. We know that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. But we need to remember that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was, and still is, God's plan. That is still God's purpose and God's mission. We have to remember everything that Jesus did. We have to remember him. We have to turn to him so that we can be forgiven and reconciled to God. Isaiah 53 gives us a perfect picture of our suffering Redeemer, the man of sorrows, the one who would take all our sin and shame, who would suffer our punishment and die in our place. It clearly speaks of the Messiah, the coming King. It speaks of Jesus, who would go all the way to the cross because he loved you and me so much. It speaks of one who would suffer and die for the sins of all people. And it tells us that by his wounds, only by his wounds, are we healed. Luke, in chapter 23, tells us about the crucifixion of Jesus and how he was the forgiving Messiah. Luke doesn't go into all the gory details and the horror of the cross. He simply says that there they crucified him. They crucified him. Even as he was being mocked and insulted, even as he hung there bleeding and dying, he asked the Father to forgive the people that were doing it. He looked at the ones who had put a crown of thorns on his head and had nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and he prayed for their forgiveness. One of the criminals who was crucified with Jesus also joined in the taunts and taunted and insulted him. He, like many people today, just couldn't see. They were blind. He was blind. Just couldn't see the truth before them. Like many today, he failed to see who Jesus really was. And he was lost. But the other criminal saw through all the pain and the agony and the darkness and the injustice. He saw through all the sneering, the mocking and all the insults. And he confessed his sin. He admitted his guilt. He confessed his sin. And he turned to Jesus. And he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. He believed in Jesus. He believed, and Jesus promised him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He turned to Jesus. He believed and was saved. That grace, that forgiveness is open to all who turn to Christ today, open to you and open to me. That good news, is for all people. The good news is we can all experience his love and his forgiveness right here, right now, but for all eternity. God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us. The criminal identified it correctly. He had done no wrong. He had no sin in him. But God made him, who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be declared the righteousness of God. Jesus took all our sin, all our wrongdoing, all our lies and deceit, all our guilt and shame, so that we could be reconciled to God by believing on him. Jesus died once and for all to open up the way of heaven to all believers. And he still looks at people today. And he still prays for people today. He still intercedes for you and for me with the Father, that we might be drawn closer and closer to him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he put down his royal crown and he bore the crown of thorns. He bore our griefs and our sorrows and our sin on the cross. Yes, he died in our place, so that by his grace and mercy we might have the crown of life, that we can have eternal life, that we can spend eternity with him. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Isaiah said, a man of sorrows, but he is our glorious King. We're going to sing a hymn in a minute, Man of Sorrows. I know we don't normally sing it at this time of year, but it is a wonderful song. We only tend to sing it, don't we, in the lead up to Easter. But the last verse says this: when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. He promised that thief who confessed his sin that day he would be with him in paradise. And Jesus still takes all those who confess their sin to be with him in that place that he specially prepared for them. A man of sorrows, a glorious King. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. You know the hymn, I'm sure, beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Well, in the very latest version of Mission Prayers, I think it is, there is another version of that. And the last verse in that version of the hymn says this: beneath the cross of Jesus, the path before the crown, we follow in his footsteps, where promised hope is found. How great the joy before us, to be his perfect bride. Beneath the cross of Jesus, we will gladly live our lives. That is the promise of paradise, of heaven, for you and me, from the King of Kings. As I said at the beginning, everybody is getting ready for Christmas. And Christmas starts with Christ. But without the cross, we wouldn't have Christmas, would we? We wouldn't have Christmas. There would be no reason to celebrate. The birth would have been just another baby born into a poor family, in an obscure village, in a troubled part of the world. But because of his love, his life, his sacrifice, we can remember the whole story, how we left the glory of heaven and came to earth to love us and to die for us and to redeem us. Without the victory of the cross, there would be no Christmas, and we too would be lost. The symbol of Christianity is not a cradle. It is the cross. But not any old cross. It is the cross of Christ. The cross stained with blood. The blood that was shed for you and for me. Just hours before he died, Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. And he tells us that he was eager to do so, because it was so important. And he took bread and wine to represent his body, broken and bruised for them, and his precious blood shed for them. He gave them one important instruction that we still have today, that has echoed down the years to us today. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's not forget. Let's turn to him and remember him and give him all the glory. And let's remember, too, that he's with us all the time, each step of the way, and we can follow him. Many years ago, I went with Clifford to, I think a man called Stuart Houston, is that right? It's Stuart who used to come here. Dave Houston, yeah. We went to a teaching centre in Cumbria, near Kirby Stephen, and the teaching was fantastic, but at the night we were a little bit bored. So what we did, we decided that we would make a record. Somebody had a tape recorder, so we sang songs. And it came to me this week, because I was thinking about coming here, and as I was thinking about Clifford, and I was thinking about Jesus, the King of Kings. Because one of the songs that we sang is this. It's 6:50 in Mission Praise. I don't know if it is in Songs of Fellowship. But it's Graham Kendrick's song, "The King is amongst us, his spirit is here. Let's draw near and worship, let songs fill the air." We sang that. You can imagine what it sounded like, my voice and Clifford's voice on this day. Good job there were some other good singers. But then somebody, I don't know who it was, realised that if we just read the first line of each verse, there was a message in it. So I'll just leave you with that this morning. The King is among us. He looks down upon us. For each child, each one, is special. And now he is giving the Spirit's anointing. We come now believing the King is among us. Amen.